Chandra, thank you so much for speaking to us this morning.
Well, thank you very much, Tess, and happy Wednesday indeed.
It's going to be a good one, I think. Yes. So for a bit of background, could you tell us a bit about corneal transplants, how they work and when they're needed?
Ah, right. So if you imagine yourself lying down on a bed and you're looking at the ceiling and there's a skylight there and you're looking at the sun through the skylight, that window has to be crystal clear for you to be able to see anything outside. And when that window becomes foggy, that window, which is the cornea, it needs to be replaced. And it depends on which part you need to replace, the whole window or just the lining that is on the inside. So this operation we are working on is just replacing the lining on the inside. And the lining is about 20 microns, about 1/50th of a millimeter. And you get that lining from another human being who very kindly donates it. And you put it inside and you try to make it stick. The challenge of the operation is when you get that lining, it rolls up into a scroll. And you have to unscroll it, have it the correct way, make it float up to the ceiling and stick without touching it at any point in time. You can squirt water at it, what we call balanced salt solution, or you can squirt a bit of air, but you cannot touch it. And you have to make it stick.
It seems like there's a lot that could potentially go wrong here. What is the success rate?
So the success rate is poor. It's been around for 10 years, where I trained before in Rotterdam. There was a Dr. Mellis, he's still around. He is a pioneer of this technique. And the frustration with the technique has been the lack of control for surgeons. But the vision, the outcome is spectacular, 20/20 vision in a vast majority of cases. It's just that it's hard to control. It's gradually increased in acceptance because the little tricks and tips are there. But the problem is there's no control of the scroll of tissue that is put inside the eye. So we thought, why not design a different way of making this instead of having a round disc that rolls up? You put a tail on it, and the tail stays outside the room, and the disc goes inside. And this way you can move it around if you want, and you know which way is up and which way is down, so you know the orientation. You can center it correctly, and you can unroll it more easily. And that's the innovation.
It certainly sounds like, I think, anything to make life easier for this type of surgery. What was some of the work that went behind this innovation?
It was all self-driven. It was quite startling. I just drew it out on a piece of paper. I went to a 3D printer in Campbelltown. I asked them to do the CAD design for it and 3D print it. Then I did some work on cadaveric animal eyes from the local butcher a few times. And then I came up with the finalized design. Then I went overseas and found a company that manufactures the existing trephines, which are punches which have been around for about 30 years. And they said they were looking for a solution as well. And so it was good timing. And they made some prototypes for me. I, again, retested them. And then I had some very brave souls who trusted me as an eye specialist, who through Macquarie University, we got a Clinical Innovation Application Committee approval. They said, yes, you can go ahead. This sounds like an idea. And it's a long journey because you have to take a lot of people on board, including universities and things like that, and thankfully my patients agreed and they trusted me, and we were just blown away by the results.
It's absolutely brilliant. I imagine if you're maneuvering everything around with a tail as well, it's got to be less invasive than it was before.
Oh yes, there's one cut we have for delivering the graft, which is a little large at the moment, it's about 2 to 3 mils, and the other cut is for pulling the tail out, which is about 1.2 mils. And we're hoping to change that around so that you only have one incision, which would just be to deliver the graft and the tail in the correct orientation. So we can make it better. We certainly can improve it a lot. Ways up.
And that's definitely a good way of looking at it. Are you hoping that this might even be the future of corneal transplants?
There are two different futures coming up. One is to culture the cells and try to squirt, and this is the other way. This culturing and squirting of the cells, they can go anywhere, and some patients, they can't. That operation cannot be done that way, and this might prove to be the only option left for patients. And I think if we made it easy for surgeons. Certainly the outcome is there for the patient. It's just that we have to make it easy for the surgeon to do the operation. If we could just do that and give more than ease control, it's about predictability. If I go into theater, I want to be able to say I'm going to successfully finish this operation, because that roll of tissue is transparent and you have to stain it, and the stain washes away as you're doing the operation. So you really have to get it right in a short amount of time. And if we can just make that easy for surgeons, I think that's definitely the way to go.
Well, it's really incredible work you've been doing. Chandra, thank you so much for chatting to us this morning.
Pleasure, Tess. Thanks for having me.